Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. Of course, I say good morning. It may not be morning where you are, but it is where I am. And this is being recorded on the 2nd of May, 2026. It's not quite sure whether it's 7:15 or 7:30 in the morning, but I'm sure it's a detail that is completely unnecessary. But it's early in the morning, early-ish, and we've had some stunning weather all through April. Very little showers, very little rain, so much so that I've been worried about it. You may have heard that on this podcast. This, of course, is going up probably not on the day that it was recorded. I will be looking for a FTP program to enable me to upload these recordings to my server so that you can access them. However, on my laptop, which runs a different operating system, I'm not quite sure how to do it yet. Anyway, that's a whole new different story, and I'm not going to bore you with that at the moment. We've had, as I said, some stunning weather, and it's been absolutely blissful to be working. In fact, in some respects, it's been quite difficult to work in the sunshine on the land. We've come back again. We went home the other day for a couple of days and then washed, cleaned, got on with stuff that we needed to do. But we had to come back because so hot, stuff needed watering, and our experience had been things were really drying out and wilting terribly. So as much as we, not as much as anything. I mean, this has been my new direction. So we have to keep coming back. And of course, we can either commute or we can stay over. We've got the opportunity to stay over. So we are staying over for a couple of nights and then heading back again. It's a combination of depending on what's going on, whether we stay for a couple of nights or a single night or commute there and back. It depends what we've got to do. I mean, the watering's got to be done, and it's, of course, the diesel prices are so expensive. I don't really need to explain all this. I'm sure I've said all this, so I'm trying to justify it. But what I was trying to get to is that I've woken up this morning and there's a fog, there's a mist around, and the sky is white. And last night we saw the biggest scar across the sky, a chemtrail, and we'd been watching over the last few weeks with these blue skies, these beautiful blue skies, and you could see planes, you could see the contrails, and they were nothing like the chemtrails. And you could see the difference. So how people can't see it, I really don't understand. Because planes are still flying, and you think, well, if these chemtrails are really contrails, as people still hold on to that, why is it you can have a whole month in which the same planes, apparently, are flying in the same patterns, day in, day out, and they don't produce any of these scarring trails? And then on the evening, or the early evening, the sort of afternoon, or I don't know, late, early evening, 6 o'clock, let's say, whenever it was, one comes across with such an obvious chemtrail. I mean, blue, 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 and then this vivid, almost luminous white going across the sky, huge thing. And we watched the plane deposit these chemicals into the sky. And we said, bet you tomorrow will be a different day sky-wise. And you know what? Woke up, there it is, blanket. Not puffy, nice little clouds, no definition in this blanket at all. It is just purely a white something. And then on the ground is this mist all round us. Utterly disgusting that people would do this. I mean, they are complete and utter bastards. Now, quite what you do? I don't know. I've been calling this out for some time and people just shrug their shoulders. They just say, no, no, it's contrails. And that's it. And in the end, it wears you down. So I'm just plonking you down a little away from me because I'm going to light my pipe. And in the end, people don't want to believe it, can't believe it. I've been brought up with bogus science, or are not open to it. I don't know what you do. But it's so, I don't know, it's so bleeding obvious. It's just so bleeding obvious. And I suppose people think, oh no, it can't be that, because it's too obvious. There's got to be, you know, people have been brought up to believe that actually the government wouldn't try and kill us. And yet, the same people will have the suspicion that 9/11 was potentially an inside job. And so you go, well, hold on a minute. If 9/11 was a potentially inside job, if that's your, you know, suspicion, bear in mind, I can't remember what the figure was, 3,000 people, was it, lost their lives. So a government is quite happy for 3,000 people to lose their lives in the Twin Towers. Any government that is happy for one life to die in order to further its agenda is too much, far too much. That life can never be lived again. Not in this realm. But that it's okay for it to allow 3,000 or whatever the figure was. And then people go, well, you know, that was the old regime. We've got a different government now. They all do it. They all do it. What do you think war is? War is not really about territory or resources. It's about killing people. That's what it is. And as many as you can get within the narrative. I don't know what's going on in the Middle East. I haven't been watching the news. I don't want to know. I don't want to know about the suffering. I don't want to know about the killing. I don't want to concern myself with what, at the end of the day, is a few people who have been privileged to be in a certain position to decide who lives and who dies. And that's really what it's about. Because ordinary, everyday people, the mass people in this world, the mass numbers of people, don't want war. Don't really want to go around killing each other. They just want to get on. They want a peaceful life. They want to be able to grow their own food. They want to be able to go to work, earn a bit of money, buy some stuff for their family, look after their family, have a few interests in life and get on with things. They don't want to kill people. They're not that interested. Most people, the majority, but a few of these fanatics, these bastards who pretend, you know, these liars who pretend to work for us, say, oh, it's in our best interest that we go and kill people. Effectively, that's what they're saying. And people will go on along with it. They'll either go along with it or they'll do nothing. Now, you might say, well, Richard, you're doing nothing. Well, I'm doing nothing in a way, in a different way. I'm turning my back. I'm not engaging with it. If more people didn't engage with the concept of war, if people who were told to go and fight said no, thank you, if the warmongers You know, the people like Tony Blair, when he was around, and he's probably behind the strings trying to still kill people. If people just said, no, you go and do the killing. Don't you just sit in your office and pretend that you're the Prime Minister or pretend that you're the General or all this sort of crap. You want to go and kill people, you go off and do it. And see what it's like to be maimed and hurt and killed and or lose a limb or whatever. You go and do it. If people disengaged, not apathy, but said, I'm not getting involved with it. I'm just going to get on with my life. I'm not going to take an interest in it. I'm not watching it from afar. I'm not going to be fearful. I am just going to get on and do my stuff. If people just did that, and if people in the army said, look, we will, you know, soldiers, we'll defend this country if we're under attack. But we're not going out purposely to go and kill in somebody else's war. And if more people did that, the idea might catch on. And other countries might not have wars. Because if all the people that are doing the killing, the soldiers, said, no, thank you, we ain't doing that. We're going to get on. We're going to work it out. We're going to talk. But, of course, that's not the agenda. Anyway. So I don't know what goes on in the war, in the world. I don't know what's going on in the Middle East. I'm quite, people say, Richard, you're ignorant. You're bloody ignorant. What a stupid stance that is. It might be a stupid stance. I don't know, because I don't know anything about it. I just know the diesel prices are going up. I don't watch any of the commentators. I don't watch the YouTube stuff about it. If I see the news on in anywhere, like the fish and chip shop near here, who've got one of these screens where they put bloody news on, I don't look at it. I don't want to know. I don't want a narrative being given to me. My narrative here is, what do we do with the tomato plants? How do we need some bigger pots. How do we collect water? How are we going to fix this roof? Should we use some hazel again and bind it together? And can we drill it in? These are the things. The news of death and stuff is when the cat brings over a dead shrew that it's caught. Or, as we had the other day, a mouse was dead, sadly. It had fallen into a watering can that was half full of water and couldn't get out when it drowned, poor little bugger. And as much as we don't want this vermin eating our food, I don't like the wanton, well, it's not wanton killing, but I don't like to see death. I don't like to know. I mean, death happens all the time. We have enough death here. I had a bird nest come down the other day and four little birds were dead. Well, two weren't dead, two were dead. I put the nest back up as best I could, but the mother never returned, and in the morning the other two were dead. It was impractical for me to try and keep them. I mean, what would I do? I hadn't got sufficient worms and things. Well, they probably are if you'd spent all day trying to... Anyway, it was this sort of thing. This is life, you know, you can't... Nature doesn't what nature does. I'm really struggling with this pipe today. Excuse the pauses. Anyway, at least it's not too cold. I mean, it's a little bit of chill in the air today. I'm sitting under an oak. beautiful oak in the corner of the plot, looking out across at the, well, the mist has covered everything now, pretty much. There are trees around in the distance, and hills. But they're obscured by this mist, this impenetrable mist. One of the things that we've, joyful things that we've found, is by cutting this grass that was 5 foot tall when we first came. Well, it's now starting to grow back, but areas where we've had the lawnmower out, it's been brilliant to see what was in the grass, sorry, on the soil, in the soil, the seeds that was in the soil. Now the grass is cut, these smaller plants have had a competition, a better competition. Well, the grass has had competition. In other words, these other plants have had a chance to grow. And we see, I think they're forget-me-nots, lots of forget-me-nots, lots of buttercups. We've had dandelions that have all now gone to seed, quite amazing. Stinging nettles, of course. Sticky willy. And some other very beautiful small flowers, some purple ones. There's others, I can't remember. We've had the bluebells, they're all dying off now. A few, well, about 50 feet from me is a cock pheasant. In fact, there's two of them. Two cock pheasants, if I, my eyes are not deceiving me. We see loads of them. I mean, they ignore us now. A robin has just, I think it's a robin. Yeah, a little robin has just flown by. There he goes. Inquisitive little things. We see all this wonderful wildlife, you know. And when we go back home, you can feel the oppressive nature of a town. You can feel, you know, people who've got issues, problems, stresses. You can feel the anger and tension. Back home feels extremely ugly. You know, roaring cars, buses, lorries, delivery vans, utility vehicles, ambulances, fire engines, all humming along the same roads. Don't get that here. Not heard a siren. There's a busy main road fairly near here, you know, a couple of miles away, whatever. In the weekdays, yes, you can hear it for an hour or two in the morning. It's sort of very dull. You are aware of it. Today, it being a Saturday, as I record this, you can't hear it at all. There's a lane that obviously leads to the land. And here comes a car. People do whiz down this lane. But it's not in use very often. There he goes. But mostly you hear farm vehicles. And okay, a lot of farm vehicles are throaty diesel engines, aren't they? But it's a sort of sound of the country these days. Go back a couple of hundred years and it would have been clip-clop, clip-clops. Of course, you never get escape the aeroplanes. But it is lovely. First thing, come out the caravan. You know, whatever the weather, really, just to get out of the carbon monoxide that must have, carbon dioxide that must have gathered, you know, the balance of air, stale air in the caravan from sleeping. Get out into the fresh, walk amongst the dew of the grass. Get one's pipe going. Sit and contemplate. Have a chat with your podcast listeners occasionally. Can't do it every day. I think it's better now to do it two or three times a week. I don't know what you think. Of course I don't know. Why do people say that? We often say, you know, oh, I don't know where you live, but where? It's like, well, obviously you don't know where I live. I don't know what you think. Well, obviously you don't know what I think. But people say that, don't they? I say it. People say it. We say some very stupid things in our everyday conversation. I'm reading another R.F. Delderfield book, which is called Farewell to a Tranquil Mind, I think. It's about the French Revolution with Robespierre and all that lot. It's very good. It gets a bit deep into the politics. It was written, I think, in the early 60s, 1960s, set in 1798, I think it is. Beautifully written, though. Quite horrific. Quite horrific about what happened. But the story weaves, I suppose, around the facts as Delderfield knows them. So it gives you an insight into what it must have been like. Or at least how he imagines it to be like. Fascinating. Love it. So I'm reading that aloud to Julia, and she reads passages to me. And then I'm still reading the 1940s one that he wrote about the Avenue. And this is the second book, called The Avenue Goes to War. One of his sagas. Love those. I want to get back to writing. He's just got such an amazing turn of phrase. I wish I did. The life that I want, that I see ahead of me in my dotage, is that of either finding a way to live in a place like this, or to find a house that's very local here, and sell mine and buy a house nearby. Stay here as often as one can during the warmer months. Tend to the crops and the land. Enjoy nature. And write. Write books and hope that somebody somewhere would like to read them. Biggleswick seems to have got some very nice and favourable reports, which has been very encouraging. And the one I'm currently trying to write, or find time to, which I haven't managed to, which actually is developing in my mind all the time, must get written. And then I do want to write We Took to the Land, our story of coming here. But of course I can't write it yet, it's too early. I haven't got enough experiences. We've only been here, whatever, 6 or 7 months. And we haven't um, haven't got enough experience or failures and triumphs that you need. The May is really coming in now. We've got hawthorn everywhere. And the white blossom, they call May because it comes out in May. You know, it's come out at the beginning of April, end of April, but it's looking beautiful. I love the blossom on the hawthorn. You get the early blackthorn, and that's, you know, it's sort of a prelude to the May. And then it just, you know, these trees, the hawthorn trees, the bushes and shrubs and the big trees, depending on how old and young they are, and where they are, it just looks like snow has landed amongst all the beautiful greens, the vibrant greens, the verdant greens. It's and the subtle colours, and then the little specks of yellows and blues, and some reds and purples amongst them. Amongst or among? It's always a decision I have to make when I'm writing something. Is something amongst or among? I mean, the same? Sometimes it just sounds better. It's like either or either when you read something. Either and either, same word. Different way of saying it. But sometimes either they knew which way they were going, either the two of them didn't. You know. I love reading as well. I love reading. I love reading out loud. I love the sound of the words. Some people say it's the sound of your own voice, Vobes. I dare say I've spoken too long already. 27 minutes. Time to wrap this up. The English language, of which I have very limited vocabulary, sadly, the more you know, the less you realise you know. So is it the more you learn, the less you know, or the more you realise you know so little? That's something like that, whatever it is. The more words you're exposed to, you realise there are more words to be exposed to that can help you express thoughts in a more succinct and clear way. And I think the English language for these words, despite what some of these truthers and conspiracy theorists say, that it's been written in order to have a secret language within it, that may be, but I don't know. However, in ordinary everyday parlance, in an accepted means of communication, I think the English language has to be one of the best, with all the nuances of words. Unlike, say, the Chinese language, which I gather is about how you say a certain word could interpret it different meanings. I don't know the Chinese language, so I can't possibly comment on that, but that's what I'm led to believe. She's a noisy pipe. It's a wet pipe. That and the combination of the tobacco. It's getting a bit chilly now. I need to go and put a jacket on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether any of this has been interesting. But I hope you have been entertained in some fashion over the last 30 minutes. I will try and do one more, but, well, I don't know that I will, because we'll be heading back. We've got somewhere to go tomorrow. It's Julia's mum's birthday, and she's having a little celebration. So we will stay tonight, water everything, and then head off, and then probably head home So you may only get one of these, but I will try and keep them coming in the weeks, but not as regularly as before. I hope that's all right. Thank you for those people who do support this channel and donate, whatever you do. If you do, you may not. No one's forcing you, but it is appreciated. And it helps keep these going. It helps keep me going. It helps keep this farm going, this farmstead. It is a beautiful place. And everybody needs a beautiful place, some sanctuary from the horrors and the tensions of the world. I will bid you good day, and I hope that you have a fantastic time, whatever it is you're doing. Take care. Bye for now.